This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, hello, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. A very good afternoon to you. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. It's you at 617-779-7937. That was Adam Schefter talking with us over a month ago. I don't know exactly the date on that. Do we know that's this exactly when that was? He was asking when the decision was going to get made on the Hall of Fame, and that decision got made last night, right before Thursday Night Football started.
I think it may have been November 6th. Does that sound
right? Yeah, it was
November
6th of this month.
It was not even a month ago then, so it was more recent than I remember. I remember Schefter never being that passionate about anything until very recently. We learned all about Adam Schefter and his passions, but now I can't imagine he was tossing and turning on that couch last night as Robert Kraft denied entry into the Hall of Fame again, passed over again. Instead, the 9-member committee, which each year advances one name for consideration by all the 50 Hall voters, selected Ralph Hay. Hey, I've never heard of Ralph Hay. Have you ever heard of Ralph Hay before yesterday?
Nope.
Not even on the radar. He is a co-founder of the National Football League, owner of the Canton Bulldogs from 1918 to 1922.
Ooh, good run.
Five sources with, this is ESPN reporting this. It was Don Van Natta who came out with the story last night. You, of course, remember the long-form piece from Van Natta earlier in the year, which is what Schefter was referring to when we asked him about it, where they said that the committee and everybody involved in the voting very turned off by the Robert Kraft offensive. And I don't mean like he offended people, but like went on the offensive to try and get put into the Hall of Fame there, sending books to the same people every year and putting out the documentary, which turned a lot of people off. Stacey James cornering people at banquets and parties and things like that, begging them to vote for Robert Kraft. He's going to have to wait at least one more year. But I got to tell you, Andy, I'm starting to think this is never going to happen for the guy. I'm starting to think that unless there's someone on the committee who's just like over my dead body. So maybe whoever that is going to have to pass on. And then eventually they'll let Kraft in. But it seems to me at this point, with this field, I mean, you saw the field. We looked at the names, right? We looked at the names when this all came out. Modell, Hay, a couple other guys, only a couple names I even recognized. And I'm not Mr. Football historian here or anything, but generally you look at those things and you think, is anybody here going to get this over Robert Kraft? And we both said no. We both thought this was a shoo-in. Kraft's easily going to get in this time around, not only because there's all this attention and heat on it, but because it's a very weak field, right? I mean, that's, you know, there's not a lot of big names here, not a lot of other people for him to overcome to get in. And they go with Ralph Hay instead, one of the founding fathers, as it were, of the National Football League. Kind of weird that it waited 80 years to put him in.
No, don't exaggerate. The Hall of Fame's only existed since the 60s, so he's had 60 years of chances.
Not 80 years, 60 years.
And he's been dead for a long time.
I think he's been dead for 80 years.
I don't get it. I really don't. Usually these things trend toward recency bias, right?
Right.
Because the voters are more inclined to vote for people they've seen, they have relationships with, whatever. No one has seen Ralph Hay. No one who's voting knows Ralph Hay. I mean, there's old guys on this committee, but no one old enough for that.
Right.
And
Ralph Hay died in 1944. That's what I was referring to. He died 80 years ago.
He died in World War II.
Yeah.
Like, that's how aged a figure. Like, you know how you think of those things as, like, the history books?
Yes.
They're not real.
Yes.
They, like, happened in my history books. This guy existed in the history books. Mm-hmm. He didn't exist in the real world.
This guy was born in 1891.
Wow.
Now, by the way, if you Google Ralph Hay, there's a great picture of him. It's like an old-timey picture of him chomping on a cigar.
Yeah.
And he looks cool as hell. Like, he's a cool, you know.
I bet he was mean as hell.
I bet he was.
Guys in that era that started businesses and controlled things and smoked cigars were mean cusses.
You kidding me? By the way, he didn't want football players to get paid. That's the main thing. The anonymous quotes
other views
about that.
That not accepted either.
I would imagine that's probably the case. Anyway, Ralph Hay. Ralph Edward Hay. Owner of the Canton Bulldogs, mostly recognized as organizing the first meeting of teams that would later form the American Professional Football Association, later called the National Football League, in Robert Kraft still on the outside looking in. Do you think he's ever going to get in?
Yes, he has to.
Does he?
I mean, he has.
He can't beat Ralph Hay. I mean, someone else is going to come along who's more qualified than Ralph Hay.
He can't beat Jerry Jones.
Well, yeah. Or DeBartolo, guys that have been kicked out of the league are getting in before him.
Exactly.
But his credentials are, like, beyond most.
They certainly are.
I mean, whether you prioritize on-field success, okay, nailed the hell out of it. Whether you prioritize growing the league and being active in sort of the business of the league as it explodes globally and financially, he has been massive in the National Football League. So even if it's personal, I'd say the worst case scenario he has is he needs some of these guys to start dying off and being replaced by different voters.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I'm
That's
not even
what
being
I said. There's someone on that committee who says, over my dead body, Robert Kraft's getting in, and you got to wait until he's a dead body, basically.
Correct. Yeah. And so the thing is, a lot of these voters are tied into their teams.
Yep.
They cover teams. So there's a voter from Denver who was tight with the Bolin family, mm-hmm. or a voter from Houston that's tight with the McNair family. And that leads me to believe there could be some of that, that they are being pressured by his fellow co-owners
right.
to not get in, right? Like, they're pressuring the voters. And it could also just be simple. There's a lot of potential pockmarks on Robert's resume, right? As much as it's a great resume, if you just look at it and say, well, those scandals, we got screwed as other owners, or we got screwed as football writers. They didn't take the sanctity of football, the shield, proper, whatever. Or
is this going to happen with Bill Belichick then, too?
I doubt it.
Well, probably not. So then why is it happening with Robert Kraft?
Well, because owners are weird. Like, I hear Jones and Keith talk about it recently. They don't even think owners should be in the Hall of Fame. And I can kind of go along with that. It is a weird existence. You know, you're rich. And you got lucky and drafted somebody.
Sure.
Whatever. I mean,
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but they do let owners in.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And they have a contributor way that they split it up so they don't have to compete with the players anymore, and he still can't get in. Like, that's
they
pretty
hate
wild.
Him for some reason.
Oh, they hate him.
I don't know who they is, if it's just enough voters to sway it, if it's everybody, if they're trying to prove a lesson. Can I give you a spin zone on this, a quick Andy Hart spin zone?
Sure.
Is there any chance that the Hall and the voters are working together to create the greatest Hall of Fame class in history, and they're going to try to make it so Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady go in at the same time?
I would say, based on everything you just said a minute ago, no. Okay. Probably not.
I was trying.
Wouldn't
that be cool?
It's not the crazy. It would make more sense than just keeping him out because of an age-old grudge or whatever is going on here.
Wouldn't that get the most eyeballs on Canton? You'd get Patriots fans paying through the nose to get there and take
Patriots fans, sure, but there's 31 other teams in the league, you know?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of Patriots fans, though.
I suppose,
And what other team had a dynasty like the Patriots? None.
No, that's
so
true.
So to continue to feed off of that as the NFL and as the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm just saying there's been other marketing campaigns or whatever, ruses pulled on people behind the scenes, business. Is it impossible that they could have colluded the Hall and the voters and said, you know, if we bring Belichick, Brady, and Kraft here in the same year, it'll be the most watched, most viewed, most talked about Hall of Fame class maybe in history, right?
Yeah.
So
could be.
I don't really buy my own crap. I'm just telling you that I threw that out there as a possibility.
That would be the same, though, if it was Bill and Brady at the same time. Kraft wouldn't even have to be a part of it.
Yeah, right? But he can foot the bill for the big party they throw. Remember when Jerry Jones had like Justin Timberlake at his party and it was like $1 million bash or something?
I don't remember that, but yeah, I'll take
he had
word
like a huge tent or something, because they do that too. There's a little bit of a, you know how they say yachts are the modern measuring contest? Well, when you go in the Hall of Fame as an owner, I think there's a bit of a measuring contest in terms of the size of the party.
Yeah, I'd imagine there probably is. I don't know that that matters to the NFL or the Hall of Fame voters or anything like that.
Cha-ching.
But here we go. Ralph Hay is in. Robert Kraft is not. It seems to me also that this was leaked in a way to make it right. Like, I mean, this the actual vote isn't for a while. So they're putting it out there right now. Hey, by the way, and it's not Ralph Hayes going in. It's Robert Kraft is not going in. There's a grudge here. There's bad feelings here still. There's definitely, I would say, a holdover from something. And I thought that big article earlier in the year was going to be the end of it. You know, like I thought that was going to be all right. Well, now the spotlight's on it. Now, if you keep him out, it's going to look really bad. Everyone's going to acknowledge, okay, this isn't really fair anymore. Even if you don't like the Patriots and even if you don't like Robert Kraft, after reading all that and seeing how like pathetic that whole thing kind of was, like at this point, it's like, okay, well, fine. You slapped the guy around for 13 years and wouldn't let him in or whatever it is. And now that we've shown all this and kind of embarrassed him and shown everybody how he's begging and how thirsty he is to get in, now you can finally let him in after that. Now that he's been humbled a little bit. Nope. They're still holding on to that grudge. That's crazy to me. That's honestly crazy to me. And I don't even really care if Robert Kraft gets in the Hall of Fame or not. Like, that has no personal stake. I have no stake in it. You have no stake in it.
Nope.
It doesn't matter to us or any Patriot fan, really. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. All our lives are not going to change at all, whether or not Robert Kraft gets into the Hall of Fame. But he deserves to be there. I mean, he 150% deserves to be there. And everybody at this point knows it. You're keeping him out because you want to, not because you think it's the right thing to do. You're keeping him out because you want to keep him out, because you want to embarrass him still, or why? I'm not exactly sure, but there's no logical reason that this should still be going on. Pat Bowlen oversaw some scandals with the Broncos and circumventing the salary cap to win those Super Bowls, and I didn't see anybody saying, well, he can't be in. Jerry Jones, how many scandals has he had? Like,
DeBartolo lost the team.
DeBartolo was in, like, some money laundering scheme or some fraud scheme. Yeah, he was in much worse than Robert Kraft. And listen, Robert Kraft's thing wasn't great, obviously, but it wasn't the crime of the century, to be sure, despite what the cops down there said initially. You remember at first they were talking about human trafficking and all that, and that ended up all being bullcrap. And so it's like, okay, well, that was a while ago now. You don't want that to be something that happens right. You don't get voted in right after that, I guess. But when was that? 2018? That was 6 years ago. Like, what are we doing here? I on some level, I don't know. I've been known to hold a grudge. But even I would be, at this point, okay, you know, enough. Like, we got to do the right thing here. Yeah.
What could Robert have done to these people? And that's why I think by extension, the owners that they're tied to, the owners
who
that they're
pressuring
covered.
These voters. Yeah,
because I find it hard to believe these nine guys. I think it's a nine-member committee. That's members of that committee hate him so much. He did something so personal and specific that they're holding this grudge for so long. I mean, I guess you could just say he could be paying for the sins of the Patriots in general. And I'm not just talking about the scandals.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots dynasty played out with a lot of arrogance. They rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And I'm not just talking about their winning. I'm talking about people in hotels that didn't think the Patriots, you know, were easy to work with. Like these, like, you know, wide net of things that they did. And are they just holding him responsible? I can't even envision that, honestly. But I will tell you this. The flip side of it is, you know, this is killing him.
Because
there's no one that cares more about what people think about him than Robert Kraft.
It's true.
And to know that either a group of people really dislike him for some reason, or someone powerful flat out hates him for some reason, this has to be eating at him. And it's even worse that, okay, it's one thing to know a person hates me, but for the whole world to know, this is playing out on ESPN. You got freaking Don Van Nottem writing multiple stories about this guy. Writes big deal stories, right?
Yeah.
This is not like some copy editor, wire writer guy on their website. Like, these are big stories that are coming out. The whole world knows Robert Kraft is not liked by somebody, is not respected by somebody. And that's a blow to your ego. Whether you really
Definitely.
Care or not, he really cares. But even if you're one of those people that pretends to not care, that's a blow to your ego.
Yeah. 100%. And it also just goes to show that no matter how, like, rich and powerful you are, you can still be on the outside looking in and stuff. You know, it's really like you think about Robert Kraft and you just think about all the money he has and all the suits and, you know, just the big office up there and owning the team and all these other business interests that he has and like all the success that he's had over the course of his life. And you just think, wow, like this guy has everything. No,
not everything.
One thing.
Not a bust.
Nope. Can't get in this Hall of Fame. Sorry, Robert. This is an exclusive club, and we're not going
to
let you in.
He can go to Florida, Mar-a-Lago, parties with whoever, wherever. But in Canton, Ohio, there's a building that won't let him in their little club.
Nope. It's really quite remarkable, I would say. We'll do more on this a little bit later on in the show.
Do people care?
A lot to get to. I think Patriots fans care.
Do they?
I think Patriots fans definitely care, yes.
This should rub people the wrong way. I'm sorry.
But wait,
you're a Patriots fan. This guy has brought us a lot of happiness, has done a lot of stuff for the community, and they're putting Jerry Jones in there, and you're passing over Robert Kraft. Yeah, this grinds my gears, for sure.
Like grinds his gears in there. And that's a Belichick guy.
That's true.
I wasn't sure how Stiz would be on this issue because this guy, Kraft, fired your guy and told him to get out.
I don't care. In totality, Robert Kraft has done a lot for this region, and every New England Patriots fan should be pissed.
You know why they will be? Is because it's been a while since you'd be able to say they hate us because they ain't us. You know, you remember that?
Us against the world.
Rallying cry for 20 years around here. And now those people have a little bit to work with. You know, like this absolutely gives some credence to all of that. They really did hate you all those years.
Yeah.
They really did. I don't know if that's why they went the extra mile on Spygate or Deflategate or any of that stuff. I think some of it had to do with just the fact that they were winning and not necessarily who the owner was or how he treated people or any of that other stuff. And by all accounts, I've heard that Robert Kraft treats people very well. I mean, I've never heard a bad thing about him or the way that he treats his employees or anything like that. But that notwithstanding, Bill Belichick not included,
What, it was an amicable parting of ways?
Yeah, it sure was. I would say that this goes to show that all those people complaining that, you know, the NFL has it out for the Patriots, they have it out for Bill and Brady, the suspension, they're just doing that because they don't like New England. Those people can walk around with their chest out right now because it looks like they're right. I mean, this looks like the work of people who aren't judging this based on the facts or the merits, but just, I don't like Robert Kraft and I'm not letting them in, and that's that.
But I don't see a lot of chest out defending him right now, and my question is, is it because they kind of are down on him right now? They kind of hate him. You ran Tom out of town. You ran Bill out of town. Then you had to stomp on Bill's grave after you ran him out of town. Oh, by the way, the coach you picked 5 years ago, sneaky stinks a little bit right now. Your football team isn't winning anymore. I think there are a lot of Patriot Nation fans that are kind of questioning their owner right now. And I think that's why you're seeing a lack of passion in defending him.
That may be. You're right about
that. I don't think they all love him like they once did right now.
What's Jerry Thornton writing over on Barstool? He's probably got a big defense of him up there, I would say.
He should, but
does he? Pete Shepherd down in Florida somewhere. I know he's got all the wall defenders. Like, they all just put their armor back on and got up on the wall, and they're like, we haven't been up there in 5 years. I would think. Guys like that, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not
sure. Maybe not your average Joe fan. You might be right about that. But I do think there's still a lot of people living in the past, you know, living in the past, thinking that Bill should still be here and sort of going over the glory days and all that other stuff and thinking, you know, this is bullcrap. They're treating us bad. They hate the Patriots. They hate me. I'm going to go out there and make a big deal about this. I haven't seen a ton of it. Most of the response I've seen is, this is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. You're right. It's not super impassioned.
And a lot of it's media driven.
I'd say
I don't know a lot of
board,
fans
though,
that are just like, because you see social media. I don't see the passion. There's certainly no passion like when Brady was in the crosshairs, right? There's none of that.
Definitely
passion.
Not like that, yeah.
And
or even when Belichick was.
I would argue there was more passion defending Bill post-Dynasty documentary than there is passion among the fan base defending Robert post-Hall of Fame announcement yesterday.
Yeah, you might be right about that. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Do you care that Robert Kraft's not in the Hall of Fame? Does that bother you at all? Does it seem like this grudge against the Patriots that went on for 20 years now has some legitimacy to it, if that's something you believed? And do you think that he'll ever get in? Those are the questions we're asking here right now. It's WEEI Afternoons. Mike Giardi is going to join the show at 3:30. We'll ask him about this. Some big doings in the NFL today as Danny Dimes cut from the Giants, which I'm shocked by. I knew that they had him playing safety on the practice squad or something, or on the scout team. So you knew that things weren't going great there. To have him just get cut like that Interesting stuff. We'll get into all of that. A pretty exciting Thursday night football game in the snow last night, which we'll get to. The Boston Bruins bouncing back against Utah in a 1-0 squeaker that saw Jonas Corposalo, I think, take over the net. So we'll get to all of that. The Celtics visit to D.C. We have our picks coming up later in the show. We got Behind the Glass. We got all sorts of stuff for you here today. And your calls at 617-779-7937. Speaking of Stiz, here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here he is with what's trending. Bruins with a bounce back win last night over Utah. It's Christian Arkin. It's Andy Hartz, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. What do you think of that game, Andy?
Meh.
That's kind of meh, too.
Meh.
I'll tell you what, I was.
You got a win, so that's.
A win's a win.
Yep.
A win's a win.
And your goalie was pretty good.
They needed that win.
Their goalie was pretty good.
Their goalie was good. The Bruins, through the first 5 minutes of the game, did not put a shot on net, and I was like, oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have we gotten worse? Was Monty the one thing keeping him like at this level?
That would have been awesome.
Like, right? Like, if they now they suddenly can't do anything. Now Monty's gone and they can't even get a shot on net. And I was like, okay, this has potential to be the worst thing ever. And then for the rest of the period, after those first 5 minutes, I feel like they had the puck in Utah zone the entire rest of that first period, and they could not score a goal.
Mm.
I mean, they were just rattling shots. I think they had like 15 or 16 in that first, and that was all in the last, you know, however, 15 minutes of the period. And they could not buy one, and it seemed like it was just going to be more of the same. And they needed that win, sure. But that win kind of reminded me of the wins they had earlier in the year where it was like, all right, Monty's getting fired unless they win tonight. And then Marchand buries like an overtime game winner,
right.
And you're like, all right, he gets another day. Like, he'll survive one more day here.
And
that's
then they
what
lose
it
the next
like.
Two games by a combined 8-2 or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. That's sort of what it felt like.
Now, was there a bump?
I don't think so.
I don't really think so either.
Maybe, you know what, if there was, it was a Corposalo bump, I think, more than it was Sacco.
Okay, because they hate Swayman.
I don't know if they hate Swayman, but I
do
think
they like Swayman.
They realize that he's not playing well. I think anybody, the brain can realize that. And they haven't played well in front of him, that's true too, and I didn't think they played particularly great. They still had a ton of penalties, they still had trouble scoring goals. It's not like everything's fixed here, and those are the two biggest problems. Like, their goal scoring and their penalties are, in terms of like a new coach, I feel like that's something that you address right away. Like, all right, guys, enough with the penalties. Let's try and get more shots on net. Let's try and do more things like this. Utah is not a good team. Neither
nice
are you, Boston
I like
Bruins.
Blue. I like that blue.
I think it's Corposalo's net now until Swayman gets his head out of his ass. I think you gotta
just
you gotta
totally
leave him. No, not totally, but like as the main guy, and then Swayman comes in as
role reversal
is what Corposalo would have been for him.
I agree.
I think you gotta stick with that now for the foreseeable future. Swayman needs to recognize what's happening here and what just happened with the coach, and I think the rest of the team needs to understand that too. And listen, they were out there, they had a hop in their step. They did. I don't think. There was a bunch of like one-timers and shots off the post and, you know, things that just happen in a hockey game. And when you're snake bit, then those things are going to get magnified. But they won the game. That's important. I need to see a little more before I get in the bandwagon of, okay, you know, this team's actually good. They needed a spark. They needed this. They needed that. But they're actually a good team. They're a playoff team. Everything Razor was saying. You know, they're actually going to be, they could compete for all these different things. I'm not going to go on that side of the street until I see them win at least three in a row, four in a row, maybe. I mean, if you want to be...
I'll take two.
Sure, but they've won two in a row at other times this year, so that's not enough for me either. Like, you want to show me that you've... Or show everybody, it's not just about me, but show everybody that you're changed, that you recognize the urgency of this, and that you know that this play has been unacceptable, then you got to rattle off more than a couple of wins in a row.
Absolutely, and I think you have to do it in more, honestly, convincing fashion than going 1-for-7 on the power play. Is that what they were? Like, things of that nature, you have to play all-around better hockey. I will say that I listened to Sacco pregame, and he's coming into this pretty eyes wide open.
He is, yeah.
He made a comment about, because somebody was asking about like changes, and he's like, well, we really got a lot of things we need to be better, but you got to start somewhere. You're not going to be able to fix it all. And I think he was fixated on the defensive end and the middle of the ice is how he sort of boiled it down to project one for the Sacco era here in Boston was keeping everything to the outside, protecting the middle of the ice, and we'll go from there. And I think that's a realistic approach. You're not going to fix your D, fix your goalie, fix your penalty kill, fix your power play, fix everything all at once, right? I think if you try to do that, you probably end up fixing nothing, right? There's only so much practice time. There's only so much sort of energy that the team can put in. And I think that's probably a smart approach for him to sort of try to check them off one at a time, a little punch list of items that they need to get done here. But it was funny. I was with a hockey family earlier today, and a kid who plays hockey was like, that was a good win for the Bruins last night. I go, was it? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, I don't know. They got a win. And his dad kind of melded into the conversation. He's like, that wasn't a good win. They won the game. They need a win.
But shut up, son.
Basically, it wasn't like a get right, the word we always use in football. That was not a get right win. What did they get right? They got the goalie right.
Goalie played well, yeah.
And they got the score right.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, I would say. In terms of other aspects of their game are still leaving something to be desired. But this team needs wins. We talked about it with the Patriots all along, right?
Yep.
It was a big Drake May thing. Like, we just need wins. Wins make you feel good. Gerard Mayo, wins cure things.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team needs wins. And then in the midst of the wins, maybe they can start kind of checking off some of the things that they need to get better at.
Well, here's one thing you can check off. Bruins are back in the playoffs. All right.
See? Yeah, McAvoy was right. We're in the playoffs. Close.
Playoff adjacent, not no longer. They have leapfrogged the Sabres, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets. Well, I guess they're already ahead of the Blue Jackets, but they jumped over the Sabres and the Islanders with 21 points now for that second wild card. It's them and the Rangers, which is funny because the Rangers are good, and you not so much. Like, the Rangers are 12-5-1, and they're the first wild card. You're 9-9-3, and you're the second one. So it's going to be one of those kind of seasons, I think, where you have all the division leaders and sort of that getting into the playoffs, and then you have one good wild card team and one that's like, how the hell did these guys get in? And it might end up being the Bruins.
Like those 2021 Patriots, the sacrificial lambs for Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah, basically, yeah. The Bruins still have the second worst goal differential in the entire Eastern Conference. In the whole Eastern Conference. They're not the worst team in the Eastern Conference or anything. That's still Montreal, I would say, right now. They have the least amount of points. But when it comes to actual breakdown of like scoring and keeping the and goaltending, like they're the only team that's worse is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's minus 26. The Bruins are minus 20. And that's worse than Montreal. Montreal's minus 17, so chew on that for a
minute. And it also makes sense. Like, we're talking about a good first step in the Sacco era is a 1-0 win.
Exactly.
Well, the end of the Montgomery era was like 7-2 losses and 5-2 losses. So those are the goals you got to make up somewhere.
That's true. It was a 7-2 loss to Dallas, 3-2 to the Blues, and 5-1 to Columbus. Right. And that's the way the Montgomery era ended right there. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with our Bruins conversation later on in the show. Let's go to Chris and Holyoke, who has a thought on Robert Kraft. Hi, Chris.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
So I wouldn't call myself a Bill guy, but I do blame Robert for everything that's happening. You know, if you're going to draw the line between Tom and Bill, it's to let one of them retire here, and he immediately regretted his decision on keeping Bill and made it hard for him. With that being said, I still think he's done far too much for the game to not be in, and I think it's an embarrassment for the NFL for him not to be in there.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it, Chris.
See, that's an interesting comment. It's an embarrassment for the NFL. So as much as these voters could be influenced by whoever, let's pretend it's, I don't know, Shad Khan hates Robert Kraft and his voter is, he's influencing his voter, but he can't get in. I don't want that guy over my... It is a bad look for the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So shouldn't Roger Goodell be talking to these guys and be like, listen, I mean, I can't make you guys vote a certain way, but it's a bad look for the league that Robert Kraft Everything he's done on the field, what he did to end a lockout, everything he's done to grow the TV packages via the media committee, all of those things. This is a bad look for us, and I'd like to put my influence on you to maybe just think a little bit about, do we need to put some guy named Hay in? He's been waiting 60-something years. He can't wait another year. He's dead. Hell, his family's probably dead. I don't even know if he has any people around to come to the ceremony. Like, shouldn't the commissioner or somebody from the leagues be acknowledging that this is a bad look to the voters?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if that would be, like, frowned upon. Is that, like, a conflict of interest? But no, it isn't
to
me.
It's the NFL. Everything's a conflict of interest. There's people leaning on people for everything in that league.
If he gets in posthumously, I will be pissed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get exactly what you mean. I mean, you think the Hay family is upset today? You think they even knew that? Did you know Grandpa could go in the Hall of Fame?
Did you know Grandpa was the founder of the NFL? He was? No, I didn't know that.
It's
going to
be a great Thanksgiving at the Hay household.
Yeah. The Hay household, they're going to be popping bottles in there for
but
sure.
But there's no reason for Robert
Smoking
Kraft
stogies.
To go in posthumously.
No.
And Stiz,
there's no reason he's not in already. I mean,
Stiz
really,
brought up the right name. Jerry Jones.
Yep.
Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft are comps in a lot of ways. I call them frenemies because I think they get along, but I think they've always been competing, and the old America's team versus the new America's team and the businesses and everything about it.
I thought that Van Natta piece made it seem like they're not friends.
Yeah, I don't really think they are, but yeah. I think they pretend to be. Okay.
Well, you
I
remember,
call them frenemies.
You remember the quote from that, I believe, when Kraft heard that Jones got in, he said, that guy hasn't won in 2 decades.
Right. And he's right.
He was pissed.
And he's right. I mean, his stadium, the roof's falling in. It's almost killing people.
Yeah. The team sucks.
I just look at if the Cowboys
Patriots
owner is
too,
in
guess, yeah.
and he's had his issues, I don't even follow it, but that whole paternity stuff that goes on with him.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot there. Mm-hmm. He says stupid stuff all the time about glory blanks and other things and just measuring people's you-know-whats. And I mean, if that guy's in.
It's very well edited.
A weird
there,
picture
Andy.
Floating around.
Well, I know. Wait, what picture?
Oh, the picture of him at the school?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back in the 50s, it was like a segregated
school,
and he's in the back yelling at the
kids. So, like,
kids
he's
going
got his issues that could sway people to not vote for him. Everybody's probably going to, right? And he's in and Robert isn't.
Yeah.
It really makes no sense. And I am not. People are going to, you worked for him for 20 years, you're a rump swab. To me, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
I'd like to find one person. I don't even care about the voters. I know they won't talk. I'd like to find a person who legitimately says, nope, he should never be in.
Yeah. There's no way you should put him in. And listen, I rip Kraft all the time, and I think this is an outrage. Like, honestly, in terms of the Hall of Fame, not like for the world. There's more outrages in the world and more outrages even in the league probably right now, too. But in terms of the Hall of Fame, this is absurd. Like, this has become an absurdity, and you're right. It's a bad reflection on the NFL, and I think they should be looking at this like, what are we doing here? But, you know, sometimes grudges are more powerful than anything else, and I think you're just looking at a classic grudge right here, like a blood grudge, like not going to...
But over what?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Like,
I couldn't tell you.
I love grudges. And, like, for example, right now, if you say Bill Belichick has a grudge against Robert Kraft, A, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And B, I know why.
You think Bill's behind this at all?
I mean, is it an impossibility?
But how does Bill have more power than Kraft is what I don't understand.
Well,
how does he have more sway over these voters than someone like Kraft would? That doesn't make any sense.
A lot of these voters are crotchety old football guys, reporters from 30, 40, 50 years ago. Who do you think they respect more, a coach who won a lot or an owner who's rich?
Probably the coach who won a lot, but I feel like Belichick rubbed just as many people the wrong way over those 20 years as Kraft did, if not more so, right? Like, he was more prickly than Kraft ever was. Kraft went out of his way to get people to like him. Bill never did that. So I think that, in general, when you talk about schmoozing and rubbing elbows and stuff like that, Belichick's not going to win any of those guys over.
Bill can be kind of persuasive when he wants to be. If you got him, if they sat down with him and just talked football, I think 5 minutes in, they'd forget if he was mean to them at a press conference or they hated him previously or any of that. I think Bill can be persuasive. And I do believe some of those old hardcore football guys were probably pissed off by the Dynasty documentary and the way they painted Bill.
Yeah.
'Cause I think they feel like they're closer to Bill. In a weird way, like they never coached, but you know what I mean? They're old school football guys.
Sure.
He came up through the 70s, the 80s, just like they did.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he was this assistant coach. I remember he knew Al Davis and I knew Al. Like, they're in that fraternal world.
Yeah.
Robert's a rich guy, right? He's an owner. He's above them. So they're closer to Bill than they'll ever be to Robert.
Texter in the 617, Robert Kraft was 3 years old when Hay died. How about that? I mean, that puts it in perspective a little bit there, doesn't
it? Hitler was alive. Right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know when Hitler died, but yeah.
Late 40, 45, 46, 47.
At the end of the war, whenever that was. Right. Not 1944. Not that's true, yeah.
Hay was Next alive person. When Hitler was alive.
How about that? 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to more of your phone calls here in just a moment. The Boston Celtics in D.C. tonight. It is a NBA Cup game Woo! Against the Washington Wizards. They are 17-point favorites, and I'd even tease that up a little bit because you need to get that point differential up here if you want to advance in the Cup. We'll also talk about their visit with Joe Biden and your phone calls right after this. So Joe Biden's just very online. I guess that's all it
Maybe.
Is.
Maybe.
Right?
That's what he was referencing.
He was referencing the Celtics or the Balls guys. He's a big fan of Scooby Greenberg, as Kendrick Perkins calls him. Stool Greenberg over there, the bar stool guy. He covers the Celtics. Big time honk. We used to interview him a lot, Jones and I. And this was back before the Celtics were winning anything. And he's been consistent. He was, you know, back then, same thing. You know, it's the best team in the league, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if Joe Biden is on that same track or not, but he was there yesterday. He presented the Celtics. Well, the Celtics presented him, I should say, with the trophy and a couple of jerseys, one for him, one for Kamala Harris.
She was not there.
Did not see her. Not that disappointed to not see her. I am disappointed, though, that Joe Mazzulla didn't speak.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed that he didn't get to grab that bully pulpit and let the world, the great, you know, because NBA fans sort of know about him now. But that would have been, I feel like he had the chance to really introduce himself to the rest of the world with this, you know.
Literally.
Get up there and let everybody into the mind of Joe Mazzulla. I feel like, I don't know, there's maybe some people who weren't ready for that, you know. It takes a while to sort of get used to the Joe Mazzulla experience.
He's grown on me. I wasn't a me real too. Big fan early on.
Right. It's not. It's jarring at first.
And then you embrace it. You're like, oh, that's kind of who he is.
Yeah.
This isn't really an act. It's kind of who he is. I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
He seems more comfortable now. Now, if you do these, you know how everything at the White House is like a matter of record? Like
yes.
Everything, if you talk on the phone, there's a transcript.
Everything, yeah.
Are these included? So like if Joe Mazzulla
yeah.
spoke yesterday, he would go into, like, the archives.
Presidential records.
Yeah, it'd be in the records. Sure.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
I definitely would have wanted to. That. Well, unless you say something really dumb and that's there forever.
Yeah, or something insane.
Yeah, which, I don't know if it'd be dumb much
one
more
thing
insane.
Or the other.
Yeah. Offensive.
The Celtics tonight are taking on the Wizards in D.C. They were in D.C. yesterday, obviously, to meet Biden. They're taking them on tonight. They are 16.5-point favorites, according to our friends over at FanDuel. And I think they might even win by more than that, because this is an NBA Cup game, remember? And the Celtics lost their first Cup game to the Pacers, I want to say. They won the second one on Tuesday, beating Cleveland. Only beat them by three. They only beat the Raptors
the
by three, too, you remember.
First
oh, it was the Hawks that they lost to. Right, not the Pacers.
They did lose to the Pacers, but not a Cup
Right,
game.
It wasn't a Cup game. That's true. So here we are. And I would imagine if they're... We'll find out now what this team thinks about the NBA Cup. We'll find out now if they give a crap about it, if they give a crap about winning it or even competing in it, because this is exactly the type of game against the type of team that you run the score up on and leave the starters in and all that other stuff. You know, like this is when that happens in a game like this, if you care about the tournament. Now, mm-hmm. You don't care about it, right?
I do not.
Stiz, do you care about the NBA Cup?
No.
No?
Fake.
Now, I'm with Scal. If I was some guy working for the Celtics that might get an extra $200K bonus,
I would care.
Or all
it,
the
yeah.
players are going to put theirs in a pot and I could get even more than that, I would absolutely care. That's hitting the lottery.
Definitely.
But if I'm Jason Tatum or any of these guys, now I want to win.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be embarrassed. Right. I want to continue to pile up wins. I do think you're
But do you leave the starters in the fourth quarter when you're up 22 and, like, you know is
you
that what you're going
to
do?
The Wizards allow the most points in the NBA.
Yeah.
124.7 a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the worst point differential. -14.8 per game. And that's against everybody.
Yes.
And you're supposed to be the best team in the NBA. And you're supposed to have the deepest bench. And you're supposed to have guys on the bench like Pritchard who can score on anybody, right? So I feel like this could be one of those Jaylen Brown games where, yeah, we'll just let Hauser and Pritchard score a bunch of points and blow them out and get us the points we needed. So it's basically just an average game for the Wizards is all you're looking for. Beat them by 15.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Ish.
15-ish. I don't know exactly what they need in order to, in terms of points, but the more the better. I know that. Like, point differential ends up being a thing at the end of these things.
More, like that guy in Star Wars.
Right.
Yelling, more.
By the way, the Celtics, in the ESPN's latest power ranking, dropped down to third. How about that?
Behind
Cleveland and Golden State.
Okay.
Cleveland at 15-1. Golden State's 10-3. That's the same amount of losses as the Celtics. Celtics are 12-3. And
but
it's
they
funny
beat you head-to-head on your court in a game that you were supposed to want to win above every game this season.
Yes, that's true.
So screw you, I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as that. Oklahoma City dropped down to 4. They're 11-4. And again, I mean, they're in the top 3 still, so it's not like they've plummeted or anything like that. But I really wasn't expecting to see the Celtics out of the 1 spot much of this season, and now they're out of the 2 spot, you know, like now they're down to the 3 spot. So I wonder if this is the type of game where you say, hey, you know, let's reestablish who we are. Let's show everybody what we're all about here. They did just beat Cleveland and ended their undefeated streak, so I think that certainly helped. But they haven't been exactly blowing, like that Raptors game going into overtime against Toronto. Like, Toronto sucks. Even though R.J. Barrett's playing well lately, that's not a good team. And you've struggled with them a little bit. You haven't exactly been rolling over teams lately, and maybe this is the time where they reestablish themselves and sort of show everybody what they're all about. And I think that the Wizards are a good team to do that against because they're terrible. Jordan Poole and Valanciunas and, you know, Kyle Kuzma and those guys, they can't stop you. They're not going to stop you or slow you down or anything. It's going to be over probably at halftime. The question I'm sort of asking and wondering about is how serious do they take it? Are they going to leave starters out there? Are they going to do what you said and just go with their normal rotations and hope that Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser and guys off the bench can go in there and continue with the point differential, which they need if they want to win this tournament? I'm interested in seeing how that all plays out. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Gerard Mayo spoke today, and he spoke in defense of his buddy Alex Van Pelt, who stepped in it yesterday talking about Marcus Jones and, well, which Marcus Jones, I guess, was the question everybody
Google
wanted
it.
To know. Google Marcus Jones. You'll see that he was actually a pretty productive player 2 years ago. And now they all know this, so at least they can move forward there. We'll get to Mayo's comments, Van Pelt's comments as well, and your phone calls right after this.